Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. When you read commentaries about today's gospel lesson, interpreters do backflips to try to explain why Jesus is being such a jerk. I honestly have nothing to say about this, and it's one of the very first things I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. What in the world is that all about? We cannot know why Jesus treated this Canaanite woman with such disrespect, so dismissively, and in many ways, cruelly. But we can explore what are the motivations of the Canaanite woman's actions and what motivates us to action in our lives. I had this question brought very, very strongly to me yesterday when I had the privilege of being down at the Cape Cod Synagogue for an interfaith rally calling our community for a loving and light response to the forces of hatred and darkness that seem to be at loose in the world. When I arrived at the synagogue, some of the doors were locked. So in my brain, immediately I'm starting to think, oh, the custodian must have forgotten to unlock that door this morning, because Saturday morning is when they worship together. So when you come to St. Mary's, God willing, all of our 1,000 doors are unlocked, and you can get into our building. And then I noticed that there were what seemed to be little cameras in various places, and again, sort of passively noted this piece of information and was helping Rabbi David, who's a colleague of mine, obviously from the Cape, but he and I are also classmates from the University of Virginia. We graduated together in 1993. And so I was helping David get ready for this interfaith gathering and went back into their offices to make some photocopies and noticed that there's a big screen with, you know, different images of their campus on the screen, sort of passively noting information. Make the copies, come back out. David sings a beautiful song, welcomes us to the synagogue. And in his opening comments, he says, "Every single Jewish house of worship on Cape Cod has been desecrated by vandals in the last 7 years. Every single one." I was so embarrassed that I had not seen that in the news. In my conversations with David, we see each other at various gatherings on Cape, various clergy gatherings. I had not seen the anti-Semitism that exists so actively on Cape. Just this last week, we saw two swastikas carved into a golf course and painted on the hood of a car. And it was back in January that the Oak Grove Cemetery in Hyannis was vandalized, and in addition to slurs against the Barnstable police and other people, one of the tombstones was tagged with a phrase that said, "Kill Jews." I had not seen this. When I was watching some of the video coverage from Charlottesville this week, David and I obviously both have a very strong connection to the lawn at the University of Virginia that the white supremacists were marching down and chanting, "You will not replace me. Jews will not replace me." In feeling that hatred and hearing David's words yesterday and realizing my own blindness, I had a very different response to reading this gospel lesson this week. When we do not see things, for whatever reason, because we are privileged to live in a beautiful community, because I am privileged to have been born a white woman in a family that valued education, because I was given opportunities because of my race, I experienced plenty of gender discrimination, but was given the chance to become a well-educated woman. if I don't see things because of the blessings in my life, if I don't see things because I get too busy, and in the hustle and bustle of my daily life, I don't pay enough attention to the news, or if I don't see things because I want to hide, and I have the privilege of hiding, then God cannot work on my heart. The amazing feminist Lutheran theologian Mary Solberg writes so beautifully about this. What we do not see, we cannot know. And what we do not know cannot inspire us to action. With the Canaanite woman this morning, she clearly knew. She had heard that there was this amazing Jewish teacher who was traveling the countryside, and he was healing people, and he was loving people. And so even though she was not Jewish, and she was a woman, so among the most oppressed and downtrodden people in her culture, other than children. So it would have been, you know, women, children, dogs. So to be called lower than a child, this is the greatest insult Jesus could have given this woman. That she knew he was a great teacher, and her heart was moved to go and find him and to call out to him repeatedly, despite being mocked by this great teacher who was supposed to be healing. Because she saw and she knew and she acted, she experienced healing. In these incredibly tumultuous times in our culture, where we are witnessing evil at loose in the world, when we are witnessing human beings acting from their basest natures and not from the glorious image of God in which every single one of them was made, it is our obligation to open our eyes, to turn to the people in our lives who are Jewish or Black or Brazilian or Cape Verdean or gay and lesbian and have experienced oppression in this culture, and simply be curious enough to ask, what is it like for you to live in this culture? And to allow our eyes to be opened to an experience that is different from our own. Or if you're good at the internet and you have time, do some searching. Search for racism on Cape Cod and see the stories. Talk to people who you know who have skin that is darker than yours and ask them, have you experienced racist acts? Just this morning at the 8 o'clock service, one of our parishioners came up to me and told me about an incident a few months ago where she was at a restaurant with a white friend, and she tried to pay with her credit card and got hassled by the restaurant. Finally did, they left, and one of the servers ran out of the restaurant chasing her. Are you sure you paid? Are you sure you paid? How many of you has that ever happened to? It happens all the time. So when we open our eyes and ask God to show us what we are not even seeing, then we have the chance to know that there is a reality that is different from ours. Then I have a chance to know that the doors were locked because the synagogue is always locked so they are not attacked. That there are cameras on the property because it is frequently vandalized. That David and his children and his family have experienced many acts of anti-Semitism since being on the Cape. Once you know that, then your heart can be open to action. The Canaanite woman was called to throw herself at Jesus' feet. And Jesus, in his blindness, why ever he was blind, I don't know, but in his blindness, ultimately does have his eyes open. And he comes to know this woman and her extraordinary faith. And in that moment, her child is healed. During these incredibly complicated times, I pray that you will take some concrete action to open your eyes to some person, some group in our culture who is actively being oppressed and marginalized today. That you will ask God to help you to know what that might be like for them in some tiny way. And in seeing and in knowing, may God bless you with the gift to be an agent of healing in some small way during these troubled times. Amen.
Amen.